1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp will be back on Thursday.
All right,
so
let's
Jay
drink.
Binkley in for the next couple of days.
Right.
Drew Nixon producing the show.
Where's the beer?
Fridays, man. That's Fridays. That's Fridays.
Oh,
I mean, if you must, there's a fridge over there.
I know where
you can go grab whatever you need.
I know where the beer fridge is.
Drew might need one after last night. Might need one after his Pacers and Halliburton and that mess.
I had one like right afterwards too. I was like, I went
after the game.
Oh yeah,
you needed one, huh?
What, like a hard lemonade?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Look, you know what? Drink whatever you like.
For hard lemonade.
Drink whatever. Drink whatever you want, by all means.
Thank
like,
you.
Anybody should. I just think it's funny that that's the one drink that you've settled on as your favorite. Like, there's so many other variations now. Like, Mike's Hard Lemonade at one point was a huge, huge, huge thing because there wasn't any of these seltzers or any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just funny that that's what you've settled on. That's all. But no,
yeah, still,
those are good. Those are
such a badass.
No, I went straight to it afterwards. I was like my wife and I, we were talking through it. We were talking through the game at the end. We were all of the stuff. She is a joy to watch the games with. We were going through all the things that went wrong. And it was,
grab me a lemonade, baby. Make it a hard lemonade. I'm going to get hammered. I hate that the Pacers lost. All my teams always lose. Give me another damn hard lemonade. I'm going to get hammered. Oh, the neighbors are doing it again.
I was more disappointed at that game than I was the Super Bowl.
Really? Oh, wait, hold on. So
way more.
Really?
I was way more disappointed.
Is it because of the? Is it because
way more
the Halliburton injury or what? I'm shocked by that actually, because the Pacers came out of nowhere.
Correct.
And they had this unbelievable run. Halliburton's making big shots. He gets hurt. Is that why? Because the Bengals beat the Chiefs, as you've tried to remind us 100 times that it happened last year, but it was like 5 years ago at this
Correct.
Point.
It was a while ago.
And then they lost to the Rams. You were more devastated by the finals loss? Really?
Oh yeah. 100%. Because I think in... Part of me, I don't know what it is, but I was thinking about it last night, like after the game was done. I was like, man, I was trying to think about why I was so much more invested in, I just felt like I was in it. And I think the fact that they hadn't been to the finals since 2000, 2001,
uh-huh.
I don't remember when that happened, when they played the Lakers. I was able to, it would have been really cool for like the city that I grew up in more. I think it was the real, not that... Again, Cincinnati's fine, whatever.
That text line thinks it's because of what you're saying that there. It's
I'm
like
from Indy, and I think that it's the attachment to what it would mean for the city that I grew up in if the Pacers won an NBA Finals. It would mean it would be so
Manning's
cool.
Manning's already won one for them. They're fine.
I still am convinced that it would mean significantly more. If the Pacers were to get it done. Because you're right in the fact the Pacers weren't supposed to be there. The Bengals weren't supposed to be there. Maybe that's why I was so set on, I just want to see the Bengals win one playoff game in my, like, I haven't seen them win one in my life.
I feel like they it's recency it. Bias a little bit, right? Like fresh.
Some of it.
It's a fresh wound. The Bengals loss seems like decades ago.
I remember though, when I was watching the game, after the game was done, I was dang, you know, that was the way, like mm-hmm. I went on about my business kind of afterwards, where this one was like, I think some of it is the Halliburton injury. You know, you just felt, you know, like,
is your wife a Pacers fan too?
No, but I think she felt an attachment to the team as well, just because we're from the area. Like, we're from Indianapolis, born and raised. Like,
I wonder,
that's
actually where you're from versus Cincinnati. You like them, but you've never been to Cincinnati, right?
Yeah,
like,
so it hasn't hit the same.
I'm
not missing anything.
I think some of this goes back when we go back and forth about where the Chiefs are at compared to Cincy, and there is no comparison, et cetera. But
they
like,
get chilly, though.
You probably thought that Cincinnati would be back in the Super Bowl by now when they lost to the Rams. Is that fair to say?
I think them, because it...
Whereas, like, Indiana, I think you recognize, especially with the Halliburton injury, like, they're probably not getting back.
I think there's some of that, but also it felt like with them having Joe Burrow and the way that the NFL kind of goes with great quarterbacks, they're always kind of in it, where I felt, especially, like, that whole run felt amazing, but it was like, okay, they're here now. Then they made it to another AFC title game. It's like, okay, we just need to get back. And now that they've fallen off a little bit, it makes you appreciate that time more. But
okay.
I think you're right in the fact that if you have a great quarterback in the NFL, we see maybe five or six of them. that have a legitimate shot of winning the entire thing. And that's kind of where I feel with basketball in the NBA, as we've talked about. Seven different NBA champions. I mean, the way that the NBA looks, it could be an eighth next, very easily could be an eighth next year in somebody new.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, because on Friday, Andy Reid had some comments. Mandatory minicamp wrapped up. Now there's this time off until training camp begins. And if you missed it earlier today, the Chiefs did announce their training camp schedule. And for those of you that are trying to reserve, you know, the tickets and everything like
this
that.
This is be good time for the team. Be good time.
No question.
Get a month, babe. Get a month.
Wednesday, July 23rd is the first practice open to the public. The season ticket holder day is the day before. For those of you heading up to St. Joe, we'll definitely see you up there. Our show will be up there. I don't know, probably 10, 15 shows or so throughout training camp. But Andy Reid was talking about Joshua Simmons and also Rashee Rice and kind of their prognosis and how well things have been going for them during minicamp. And you know, one of the things that I've been stuck on has been, all right, believe day one at training camp when I see it as far as Simmons actually being out there getting full work. But here's what Andy Reid had to say.
They're both ready to go. Yeah, they actually got great work in these camps here. So,
what about Jared Blyley?
I think we're going to be okay there. He got some work here the last couple days, so I think we'll be fine there.
Yeah, Jared Blyley, obviously the tight end that they were high on last season, and then never really saw anything due to the injury and everything like that. Josh Simmons is the most important one of that bunch. Rashee Rice, by all accounts, yeah, I don't doubt at all. He'll be ready to roll. And
maybe for the whole season. So.
Hopefully, and that'd be awesome for this team. What would also be awesome is if Josh Simmons is actually going to be ready to go the way Andy Reid was leading on there, because that gives him a chance to be the week one starter. If he's not, and it's a week or two into camp before he's doing everything everybody else is doing, then Jalen Moore to me will be the starting left tackle until he doesn't perform well or whatever, right? Injuries, et cetera, happen. I still got to see it just to believe it, because it's very easy still to say without pads on and everything, oh yeah, he's going to be ready to go. Ready to go as in, like, when they put the pads on, like, 6 days into camp or whatever it is, 5 days into camp, whatever it is.
Usually three.
Three. You know, is he actually putting on pads then? I'm not saying he has to run with the ones his first day. No, that's Jalen Moore can run with the ones. And that that's fine. I'm just saying the question about Simmons is more health than, in my opinion, the overall ability. Because I think if Simmons is given an equal chance, as in his body allows him to have an equal shot at competing for the job, then I think it's a 75% chance he's starting week one. But I also wonder if we're not going to be sitting there a few days into camp and, oh, wait, actually, we're going to take it a little easier. You know, this is his first time, yada, yada, yada.
Which is fine with me. If they do take their time with him, they should. This is, obviously, if this works out, it's a coup. It's a great draft pick, once again, by Brett Veach, if it works out. But I don't think the pressure should be on him right away, and it shouldn't be. I mean, the organization shouldn't look upon, hey, you need to get out there and start. You got to get Mahomes' trust, and we're going to put you there on day one. Because you know what the situation is. He is the first-round pick, so you get that extra of options so you can bring him back for the fifth year, so that bodes well for the Chiefs. But to rush him, if this is going to be your long-term answer at left tackle in one of the top four most crucial positions on a football field, in my opinion, you take your time with it. You don't rush it. You ease it in only when he's ready to go. Like, you know, it's not by necessity. Hey, we need you to play left tackle. You got to don't rush it. Just take your time. Again, you get the 5 years on him. It turns out great. But you know what? Even if he turns out well mid-season or after the season, he's a full go for next year. That's still a win. That's not a loss. That's not a loss. That's not a bust. That's not anything else if he can't perform this year. Because you know what? It's going to take time. The number one guy he's got to show improvement for and trust is Mahomes. Mahomes has to be able to trust his blindside left tackle so he can make throws down the field more like we think he's going to do this year. I will say this, though, and I liked hearing this. It is good that Andy Reid's a former offensive line head coach, and obviously they good coaches there, Andy Heck as well. But having Andy Reid there, and you hear him talking to him all the time. But the other good news I thought was Mitch Schwartz being involved with helping him out with, you know, consulting with him. I think that's huge that Mitch is part of that, because I know how much Tomba has helped influence George Karloftis and things like that, these former players. So when I hear somebody like Mitch Schwartz that's done everything in this game and knows the game inside and out, is mentoring this guy going forward, that's a positive. Just take that information and use it. Like, don't just, I mean, which he is, but when someone like that's putting information and imparting knowledge upon you, take that. That's why I'm happy about that, because these guys are willing to help. They want to see it work. That's why Mitch Schwartz is involved in this. There's no rush. That's the thing with me. You don't have to go up there and, hey, you got to prove right away this is the great draft pick we got over on every other team because Josh Simmons is starting left tackle. Just make sure he's 100% ready to go because you don't want to kill the confidence. You don't want to put somebody out there too early where they – because, you know, he's squatting less now. It's 225 or whatever. He's getting back into the weightlifting, everything else. But you don't want to put pressure on someone to succeed right away. And granted, there's a lot of pressure when you're drafted by the Chiefs. You're drafted by a team that's got three straight Super Bowls. You're drafted by a team that you sit there and look at the banners and you got three recent Super Bowls hanging down and you've been to two others. I mean, that's pressure going into that situation. And your quarterback's a two-time MVP, three-time Super Bowl MVP. That's natural-born pressure and it's a position of need. The want to and desire from a Josh Simmons to come in here and show, you know, hey, came from Ohio State, won a national title last year. Here's what we can do. You understand there's pressure on the player, but this is where, you know, everybody, the training staff and everybody, I'm saying you don't force him into a situation. Do you need him? Hell yes. But can you wait on it?
Yeah, I must.
Yes. Would Jalen Moore be the best option initially for the trust factor of your quarterback? I think so.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they should rush it. My point is just that all this talk that he's for sure going to be ready for day one of camp, I'll believe it when I see it. That's my that's been my stance. It's not that
I don't see it.
I don't want them to rush him just to get ready for week one. No, they need to do what's right for longevity of his career. Big picture here. This is not about just 2025.
Can he be ready? I think so. Maybe the season, but initially, I don't think so.
I'll be pleasantly surprised if, in fact, he is truly good to go, full go, no questions asked, with pads and everything at camp. And that'll be a great, great thing. Anytime we talk Josh Simmons, I think for his entire career, though, like, Bink, you have to understand, like, your draft reaction is one of my favorite things at the landing. It really, like, one of my favorite things that we've had on the show, on this station recently.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
You can tell when Bink said Ohio State. You can tell he was disappointed before he even said it.
Honestly, it's one of my favorite things we have in the system. I mean,
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Well, you have no choice now, except to see how he's doing. And again, I want to ask you about this, though, because Andy Reid said this, and it's not something we've talked a ton about. Mahomes was asked about this particular question, and it's having the same group back. You know, the timing, breaking the little things that go between a quarterback and receivers. That's why Patrick brings them all down the camp path to get acclimated for what he does, which is very important that he's able to do that. But Andy Reid was asked that same question. And you think about it, Hollywood Brown, even though he was hurt and did have those 9 catches towards the end of the year, he was there for practice. He understands what they do.
Sure.
Rashee Rice definitely knows now, too. He's in year 3. Xavier Worthy got that first year out of the way, so he knows what he's doing. So you have a group of guys. Then you sprinkle in your Jalen Royals of the world. That's fine, but Juju's been here. He knows the routine. But this is why there should be some confidence about the receiving core.
You're not going we're teaching everything. Getting out of the huddle, the snap count. That's where we started with some of these guys last year. So, yeah, no, it allows you to jump start, line up in all these crazy formations. So you had to kind of back up on some of that stuff. And it's things that you, as the season went on, we were able to expand a little bit and then hit it running here.
See, that's actually saying something there. That really was. You know, able to go a little bit forward later in the season. This means you're starting off in a much better situation. And he's right. Like, these crazy formations, you had to back up on those. That's what we said. We had to back up on some. That's what makes the Chiefs the Chiefs. The wild formations, doing interesting formations with your wide receivers, motions, things like that.
Pre-snap stuff.
Yeah, you take that stuff for granted. But he had to gradually put it in as guys started to understand it more. But now they understand it going into camp, which I think – A little bit different way to look at the wide receivers, thinking, all right, well, these guys have all been here. They know what to expect. Andy Reid can throw the crazy formations early on at them because he expects them to know them. Because now last year, like you said, he had to kind of ease into things and ease into formations. And now it's just all systems go when you go to camp. And that's a relief because you think he got Mahomes now. He have a group of receivers that he trusts. He knows what they're going to be. All that good news. Offensive line, it's one question, but the receivers – having that continuity, I think, is a pretty big thing.
Less than a month away from heading up to St. Joe for Chiefs training camp. If you're trying to think of what to do for lunch still today, though, if you're trying to think about what to do for dinner, of course, don't forget our friends over at 30 Hop, our Monday lunch partner on Cody and Gold. $5.99 classic burgers going on all day today. 30 Hops, your new go-to, an American bar kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and that unbeatable happy hour. Check them out in Lee's Summit or their brand new location in Merriam over at Grand Station. Stop in for lunch, stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio. I missed it on Friday, Bank, because obviously I wasn't on the show, but Cags,
the pool.
I was at the pool. I was doing, actually, Friday ended up being like a full errand day, or and a little bit of Thursday too. I wasn't planning.
You were at the pool, Cootie's dancing.
No, I wasn't planning.
Busy stuff.
A couple things happened, not to get too off topic, but we had the trash of the day about the dentist or whatever.
Yeah.
In Czech Republic or whatever it was. I think that was the country. And Friday and Thursday ended up being busy. I was calling the dentist's office just to get an appointment for like normal cleaning thing down the road. And they're like, oh, you can.
Glad you got in that fast.
They had a cancellation. They're like, do you want to just come in at 3 o'clock? So that was great. And then the surprise thing I wasn't planning on doing, all of a sudden someone will say, oh, you must have gone over a curb. I didn't. I was getting out of my car and I looked at the right passenger side tire.
No, no.
It was like bubbled. There wasn't metal showing. It's not worn. But like it bubbled out the sidewall or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like that's a bad thing. Yeah. Obviously.
Very bad.
So I drive it to the tire place I got. And you guys tell me if I would have thought that would be something covered under warranty, seeing the fact the tire is only like a year old, but apparently not. So I had to get a new tire.
Did you have to pay full price or did you at least get some kind of discount?
I had to pay full price.
That's not right.
That's what I thought.
When you trade in a tire, you're not going to get 100% of it back, but if you only had 60% or 70% of it, you should at least get that money back.
For it to bubble after a year, I feel like that's say up to 65,000 miles on a tire, what else would it be then? Someone said, oh, maybe you went over a pothole or something.
You got a discount on that.
I don't know. I definitely didn't go over a curb. I can't say there's a pothole, maybe so, but like I didn't notice it. Who knows when this happened?
In this town, chances are a pothole.
Yeah.
A few of them.
There's definitely and post winter.
They're fixing them all now because they're everywhere.
But no, anyway, so like that was that's what I did on Thursday.
So a productive day.
Yeah,
I felt Drew and I had a very productive day too.
That's what I hear. You guys were talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks.
We're tight now.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're talking about
Drew's a big Gamecocks fan.
Drew was big on Lenora Sellers, their quarterback.
Yeah, he's a big.
I mean, we were talking about the Missouri Tigers, and I was looking at tickets, and I was, you know, the KU Missouri game tickets are a bit pricey. Makes sense because it's the border war; it's more money. You can go see at least the last time I saw, you could see a potential Heisman Trophy winner for like $100.
And I
might be obliged to
keep it. I kept it clean when Drew's saying these things
because I haven't been to Columbia yet for a game. I haven't been to Lawrence. See, now that KU's back, Gold, I'd like to go to a KU football game on campus.
Yeah, new stadium.
He needs to go. Well, drive down the Arkansas game. Drive up to Lincoln games. There's no excuse.
Well, Nebraska's playing at Arrowhead this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Drew's first.
This is a hotbed for college football.
I promise I'm not
going to
go.
Drew's first time at Arrowhead cannot be Nebraska versus Cincinnati.
I promise I'm not going to that game. I promise.
That cannot be your first time going to
Arrowhead. Your first time in Lincoln should be hitting O Street and being actually in a game in Lincoln. But it's not too far to drive down to Arkansas and watch them play. I mean, again, you can watch whatever you want.
Yeah, I will not be going to Arrowhead for that game.
See some Big 10, some SEC, Big 12, anything. Anything's available, Drew.
But anyway, I was bringing up Friday, mainly because I didn't get a chance to talk about Cags. Now, right now, he's hitting 203 in 17 games. Obviously, has got off to a slower start than most people would have thought. But he got the first home run out of the way, and he got two of them in one game. And then he robbed a home run the other day, which we all know there's been a lot of questions, just what would he look like in right field. And there's times where it's been a little adventurous, I think it's fair to say. But that was an impressive robbing of the home run against the Padres. And I think for Cags, I thought, and maybe it'll still happen this week at home. Once he got that home run out of the way, I feel like, man, you've kind of like quote unquote done all the early debut milestone typey stuff, right? You did the home debut, you did the major league debut, you got your first hit, you got your first win, you got now your first home run, you've robbed your first home run. I feel like he's gotten all that. Now it like hopefully it's just sit back and play baseball.
I'd like to see me like a Nick Kurtz type situation with Oakland. You've been watching this, dude? He was picked two picks before Cags.
He's on my fantasy baseball team, Bink.
But he had three walk-off home runs in 1 week. Like, and he's got 10 now. So you're thinking, okay, see that kind of development. That'd be great to see.
Yeah, but Nick Kurtz has also been up for 2 months.
He has been, but again, more. But that's what you're expecting. You know, that kind of clutchness.
Yeah, he's still only played in 17 games.
Three walk-off home runs. I don't care how many games he's played.
But walk-off home runs are just like that. That's like it is very impressive, but that's Like, nobody.
I'm just saying, I'd like to see that production from Cags, which I think we'll see. I'm just saying that's a good barometer.
My bar, like, it's eventually the average goes up and home runs and all that. But, like, I'm not sitting here saying, man, his first 2 years of his career, if he doesn't have a walk-off home run, like, I don't know anybody that ever says that. Saying,
but the clutch gene, like, he's got it. Kegs has it. He just want to.
Walk-off home run. There's also got to be a spot for it.
Seeing him more with the two home
happen.
Runs than Robin a home run. I'm seeing that clutch gene.
Has he even been in a spot yet to do that?
No, I don't think so.
Look, you can be critical of the numbers. 17 games in, that's more than fair. People can be critical of that. I think saying that, like, how come he doesn't have a walk-off home run? That's a bit crazy.
I'm seeing that clutch gene that Nick Kurtz has had because this guy was drafted the same draft.
And Nick Kurtz is a nice player.
It's taken off. I mean, that's the kind of things you hope to see. And I think we will see it from Kegs because I love watching him play. Yeah. But I'm saying you see what this kid's doing, you think, okay, it clicked for him. Like, it clicked for Kurtz right away.
But it didn't right away. I guess that's my argument.
It didn't.
Go look at the first 2 weeks for Nick Kurtz.
100% is now. So I'm saying Kegs, it'll come because it did click for Kurtz. It'll click for Kegs.
Yeah, no,
basically all I'm saying, the clutch gene that he has.
Yeah, if your point is that eventually it clicked, then yeah, I think after time, we're acting like that Nick Kurtz came up his first week of the season and was just, killing it.
Nobody settled in and he's been killing
it. For sure. Yeah, look, in April, Kurtz had 24 at-bats, hit .250. So yes, that was better than Cags. He didn't have a home run in his first month of April. It wasn't a full month, but he didn't have his first home run until his, 12th game, 13th game, something like that. Or more, actually. It was more than that, Bink. He didn't have a home run until 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. His 16th game is when Kurtz hit his first home run. Cags has 2 and 17.
He did when Cags has muscled it out.
So I'm just saying, I'm not really worried.
It was good to see.
Yeah, Texas Line's giving you a hard time. Cags hasn't won a playoff game yet. What's wrong with them?
No. I mentioned on Friday that Kegs is definitely a don't grab the beer guy.
Yeah, he's a lot of people saying that.
Like, you don't stand up and do anything when he's at bat.
I hear you. But it was good to see that. Hopefully that gets him going this week, obviously. Back to the tire thing real quick. Well, people saying not covered under warranty. They said the 65,000-mile thing is not a warranty. It's just tread life, so it doesn't matter. So you're telling me
Every time I've had a nail or something like that and they had to replace the tire.
But this wasn't a nail. This wasn't a nail, though. This wasn't a patch thing. Well, people are saying it's off a curb. I didn't go over a curb. Now, if you want to say it was a pothole that caused the tire to have damage, well, yeah, I guess that's possible. But also, that shouldn't happen that quickly, I don't think.
Normally, if a nail is in the tire,
it wasn't.
I was going to say, normally, if it's something like that, maybe they charged you full price because it...
Well, no, I knew the whole tire had to be replaced. When it has sidewall damage like that, you can't just repair that. That's a defect, damage.
Did you replace at least 2 of them or just the one?
Just the one, because the tires aren't that old.
Yeah.
So it was, normally you do it in pairs or whatever, but the tire wasn't that old, so the tread life on
that
the other
sucks,
one.
That sucks, man. A day off.
I'm glad I saw it, though, man. That thing, you don't see that. That blows out on the highway. You're in big trouble.
Sucks.
But so that was part of Thursday/Friday. As well.
In the dentist.
And a dentist.
But at least you got haircut. Right in with the dentist. Like, that was a surprise you got in early.
Someone says, my brother drives an Avalon, a newer one. It's got rubber band tires, which you don't know. Look it up. He always gets bubbles hitting potholes. He bought tires at, I'm not going to name a place. He usually gets a free one or he has to pay just a little bit more money. Yeah, I did not get mine from there.
What is
Thank you, Texter.
Rubber band tire? Like, what? I'll have to look them up, I guess. I've never heard of those.
I don't know.
Maybe they're more affordable, evidently. You don't have to...
Low-profile tires are actually high-performance or touring tires.
Oh, okay.
Mine are touring tires, but that's just what I've always had on the car. I don't know. I'm not sure. Whatever. It wasn't that crazy, but...
Yeah.
Mine aren't rubber band tires, though, I don't think. Like, they're just basic... They're basic tires. Goodyear tires. They're nothing special. Nothing. Neither the cheapest. Neither
Goodyear's.
The most expensive. They're just normal tires.
Tire.
Yeah. This is not some random brand, but I don't know. Anyway, I've had bad luck with the tires on that car though over the years. I don't know why. Just random things like nails and stuff, but that's a normal thing.
Not rubbing, you're not racing gold.
That's right, Bank. All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a bit more about what's going on in the NFL with some bold predictions for 2025.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, are NBA champions for the first time. New champ also for the seventh time in 7 years. SGA, finals MVP to go along with his regular season MVP. Unfortunately, Tyrese Haliburton left that game in the first quarter. We all knew it was a serious Achilles injury. It's been confirmed today that it's a torn tendon in his right Achilles, which is going to be a long road to recovery for him and impact next season.
He played the what-if game. I mean, just think about, and even SGA, what he did. I mean, scoring title, first person since Shaq to win all three of those things. But I hate seeing injuries. I see the best of the best. You want to see game sevens. You want to see everybody just go at it, man. Both these teams looking for that first championship. I mean, that's what it's all about, 100%. The Royals, 4-2 road trip, but they've dropped two straight. You and I, Alex, before you left last week, we talked about, well, we take 3-3, get a 500 road trip. You know, they played bad at home, six straight home losses. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? I think you take it, then you get to 4, and all of a sudden you say, well, they're not going to be worse than 4-2. That's when you start 1-5-1. And had that great chance yesterday to get to 5-1 and didn't. But coming back to the K, facing two very good teams in the Rays and the Dodgers, and you get to face Shohei's pitching.
Big homestand, and we'll talk more about it, I'm sure, tomorrow as well on the show. Next up, Chiefs today did announce training camp schedule is out. A couple of the key dates, July 23rd, that's a Wednesday, first practice will be open to the public. Of course, much like pretty much every year under Andy Reid, practice is 9:15, unless there's a special change. 9:15 is when you can expect that. Chiefs Alumni Day up there in St. Joe, July 28th, that's a Monday. Family Fun Day is on Saturday, August 2nd. And August 13th, it's a Thursday, that's Military Appreciation Day. That's the last day of camp. You know, they do that every the second to last day or last day. I can't remember what it is.
They always
do that.
Day.
Yeah, they always do that, which is really neat before they break camp officially.
Will they have a new wolf?
Well, don't they already have a backup Casey Wolf to begin with?
I think so. It's very hot to be the
is
wolf
it
in
you?
St. No. It's very hot to be a wolf in St. Joe, though. Very hot to wear that costume when it's 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, props to the wolf, because that is a very hot job.
That's right.
Drew's a mascot. Drew's the wolf. He didn't tell you that, but
he is gonna
that's
maybe
how he gets the Arrowhead.
We are gonna try to get him to training camp this year for a couple shows, so maybe he can
maybe
wolf double
be
duty.
The wolf. I bet they would if we call the Chiefs.
I don't know about
their
that.
Would they let Drew be the wolf?
I don't want.
Can you shake your belly like that?
I don't want to suffer through the.
You'll lose some weight too. While you're up there.
You will. It's good exercise.
No.
Good cardio.
I don't have what it takes to be a mascot.
Not everybody does, Drew. You know, not everybody does.
I don't think I have what it takes to be a mascot.
But you can walk around being nice. You're good at that. You're a nice guy, Drew. I'd be a terrible mascot.
Yes.
I think.
You flipping people off. Whoa. The wolf flipped me off.
Yeah.
No, I definitely wouldn't do that. Kevin Durant was at Fanatics Fest. How long have they been doing this, by the way?
Fanatics Fest, everybody was there in sports. It's on the list of things I would like to go and see. I've gone to the National Memorabilia Card Show, which is in Chicago. I haven't gone to Fanatics Fest. It's only like 1 or 2 years old. It's because Fanatics has taken over the world. I don't know if you guys
have realized this.
They have all the contracts now with all the leagues and licensing and everything. And so Michael Rubin and Fanatics have basically been able to organize this event.
The NHL wears their jerseys.
And they have the top athletes at their show. Tom Brady was there. Livy Dunn was there. I mean, it was a ridiculous A-Rod. I mean, keep going. Like, there was a bunch of stars there.
They have competitions where they do different skill tests versus each other. Brady won it.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Brady is anybody else that didn't win it, he gave them each like $5,000. Like, he took all that money and gave it to all the other people. That was pretty cool, Brady. Like, that was actually cool, Brady.
Yeah, well, so they do the... It's how it's set up, the Fanatic Games thing.
I mean, like, Burrow wouldn't win anything because he couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, but my understanding, so the Fanatic Games portion of the show, if you are lucky enough to get one of those tickets to participate, pretty much the athletes are going to make sure that they're not trying, like, they're going to make sure that somebody gets the money. Does that make sense? Like, that was all planned. Well, like, Tom Brady was never keeping the money, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Somebody but that was a very fan cool. finished third, I think, is what it was. But it was cool to see Brady give that money
away. It's one of these years I want to go up there. It stinks that's only in New York City or whatever, so that's the only problem with it.
Oh, they don't rotate it around?
I think it's always been in New York.
Well, Fanatics does everything. But you've seen the NHL jerseys now, right? They actually put the Fanatics logo on.
Yeah. No, they're taking over the world, man. Fanatics Live is where we got the trading card ripped. Really? Caitlin Clark was from Fanatics Live.
Oh, I saw that Brady took out a LeBron card or something. It was graded at 9.5. Remember you were telling me about the grading system?
Yeah.
It was graded like a 9.5. How'd they get a 9.5 right after?
I saw I saw Livy Dunn went and dropped $2,800 on
that was
scheme card.
That was so scripted, though.
Okay.
Like, no, I mean, you're right. It was a real video. It's just... Tops is smart. It's smart marketing. They basically, like, Livy Dunn went to this random booth to buy Paul Skeens card. And they're like, oh, it's $3,000. And she's like, didn't one sell for $2,200? Look, with all due respect to her, do you think she's like looking up card prices? No, it was scripted and they ended up making a deal for $2,850 or $2,800.
Livy Dunn is everywhere now.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
I mean, she's literally everywhere.
Is that a problem for you?
She's just in Omaha. No, I'm just saying she's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody had a huge problem with Taylor Swift showing up everywhere. When is it going to turn on Livy? Because she's literally everywhere.
Maybe not for a bit.
I bet it happens soon.
Maybe not for a bit. Yeah.
We're getting there, Bink.
She is hot, though.
Yes, she is. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Do you find her attractive, Drew?
She's a very nice-looking woman, yeah.
The way you said that, though, it just was like...
Again, yeah,
this
is a thing with Dusty that we have.
Well, because Drew, for whatever reason, does not find her as attractive as others, but I don't get it.
Correct.
I don't get it.
What the hell?
I don't get it. She's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Correct. Bombshell, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not to say she's not like attractive, but...
what are you saying, Drew?
I think she's gassed up a little bit too much.
What?
Yeah.
He thinks she's overhyped, which is a ridiculous take. It's honestly as bad a takes we've had some days. This is so bad. So bad. So bad.
She is a smoke show.
So bad, Drew. Man. 913-586-7965. So the NFL season right now is going to hit a little bit of a offseason. It's going to hit a little bit of a lull until training camp begins and everything. And this is when you start to see more and more different articles come out, bold predictions. And tomorrow we'll do our Chiefs predictions on a couple things too individually. But NFL.com did their way too early bold predictions for 2025. And some of these are bold, no doubt. There's some that I think they're just good predictions, right? They're not that way out there. Like number one was listed as the Bills will win the Super Bowl. I understand Allen is 0-4 in the playoffs. He's lost four playoff games to the Chiefs, including two AFC title games and everything. I don't know if it's even like that bold. They have the second best odds. They're basically second best odds to win the AFC.
If you're taking anybody in the top three in odds to win a Super Bowl, that's not bold. It's not. Again, I thought maybe going somewhere like Washington, the Commanders, that would be more bold in that situation. If you want to look just the AFC teams, Houston Texans, could they take that jump? That's a bold take, not the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I think anytime right now in the AFC, if you predict the Chiefs are going to be dethroned, people will take that as a bold, like they'll say that's a pretty bold thing. But in general, like nobody's going to call you crazy. Like if you said the Bills are winning the Super Bowl, nobody's like realistically, nobody should call you crazy. You could disagree with the prediction, but like, it's not a crazy thing. A crazy one would be like we were saying, you think the Jaguars are winning the Super Bowl. I'd be like, okay, calm the heck down.
Anthony Richardson's going to turn things perfectly healthy.
That kind of stuff would be like, okay, that's a bold prediction and a dumb one. But like, just if you're saying the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Bills or the Eagles or the Rams, let's say other top team in the NFC. Like if you, one of those are going to win, I don't know if I would call it bold necessarily. You want to say like on this list, they have the Broncos winning the AFC West. If you think a team is going to dethrone the Chiefs for that, I'll call that bold. Like everybody's been predicting it for a while, but that's still a bold prediction. The Chiefs have won it 9 straight years. That's a bold prediction. If you say the Broncos are going to win the AFC West,
I think it's more bold to finally say the Chiefs are going to go back and win it. Cause they're like, they're not going to win it. They've been too much. They're not going to do it. But this is the year where they actually could surprise teams more because they've gotten to this point now where this would actually be a year where you could say that with the Chiefs. Cause there's not a lot of people expecting it.
Is the Jaguars winning the AFC South bold? I don't know if it's bold.
Completely.
Yeah, it's bold.
Is it, though?
I think it's just a bold pick, yeah.
I think it's, yeah, it's not.
Do you see the stat where 20 of the last 23 teams' divisions were won by teams that didn't win the division the year before? And 50 out of 53 teams that didn't make the playoffs ended up winning or getting to the playoffs. But 20 out of 23 teams that didn't even make the postseason ended up winning the division the next year. That's why I never go by the W's and L's. I mean, that stat right there tells you right there. The worst to first happens in the NFL all the time.
I mean, I think those would be my, if I had two bold predictions, I would say the Jaguars win the division, win the AFC South, and the Bears miss the playoffs. I think those would be the two that I.
You think Hunter can make that much of a difference? So you're buying Trevor Lawrence now.
No, I've always.
To me, this is Trevor Lawrence.
It's all about a Trevor Lawrence
get off the pot year. This is Trevor Lawrence's blanker get off the pot year.
Yeah, I've always liked Trevor Lawrence. I think that he hasn't quite come through. I mean, he also had Urban Meyer, who's kicking players as the head coach.
Yeah.
He's dealing with the ACL issue where I think it was what he did. He tore his ACL, right? Or was that something else? Something happened last year where he got hurt. If he's healthy for a whole season, I think they have the pieces in place now with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. The running back duo is solid with, who is it, Bigsby and Trevor Etienne?
Yeah.
Or Travis Etienne? I think they're solid. I think they can win the division. I wouldn't be surprised if they made the playoffs.
I like Brian Thomas. Like,
he's a stud.
Can you believe LSU didn't win more with
it's crazy, man.
Daniels, Malik Neighbors, and Brian Thomas?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's fireable.
I think tomorrow we'll do our Chiefs bold predictions on these. A couple other ones that are listed, by the way, for this NFL.com article. That stood out to us, at least. One says Daniel Jones will win comeback player of the year. Well, with Anthony Richardson dealing with the injury and stuff, there's a very good chance Daniel Jones is starting week one. And if he's just fine, it puts you in contention to be comeback player of the year. For comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
This goes back into the criteria of the award kind of thing, right?
But they have changed that, to where it's not just... So it's supposed to be injury, not just sucking.
But here's the thing. Yes, they changed the wording. The AP did.
But Daniel Jones would be because he sucked.
Right, but they changed the wording of what they're advising voters to do, but it doesn't prevent them from doing it. That's the whole thing. Yes, they can say this is what you're supposed to vote on, but it does not say you're not allowed to. And
because
Daniel Jones goes against the spirit
of the
law.
It should be injury-based. I've told you to solve this whole problem. I've said this on the show multiple times. I think they need to do what the NBA does. Comeback player of the year and most improved player. Yep. Two separate awards.
Agreed.
It solves this entire problem, so we're not sitting here arguing about it. I was going to pull up, Drew, you were asking about...
We're talking injuries. Like McCaffrey's got to be on there, right?
Absolutely. So here's the... Let me see if FanDuel has it up on their site right now. FanDuel Awards. Let's see. Comeback Player of the Year. Is it already out there?
He's got to be the favorite.
Here we go. All right. Here's the odds right now. Comeback Player of the Year. Dak Prescott, 3-1 is the favorite.
Oh, okay.
Aiden Hutchinson, about 3-1 as well. Christian McCaffrey, +370. Trevor Lawrence, 4.5-1. This one's tricky because he didn't play last year, so I guess, but it's just weird. JJ McCarthy's 8.5-1. So it's like, yes, he was hurt, in fairness, but that's an interesting one. Rashee Rice, 14-1. If he just goes and has 1,400 yards, quarterbacks are always going to get the edge, though, right? So if Dak Prescott plays pretty well, but that's interesting. Rashee Rice, I did not realize he was 14-1 to be comeback player of the year.
I think Aiden Hutchinson, that would be my
Daniel
bet
right Jones now. Is 25-1. Max Crosby, 20-1. Chris Godwin, 26-1. Now we can just
Max Crosby would have to lead the league in sacks to have a shot at that.
Who would you take? I take Aiden.
Right now, in this market,
Dak might be a good pick.
Because if Aiden gets like 14, 15 sacks, whatever it is.
Dak at 3-1 strong, especially if I think they actually are a playoff team. I also think quarterbacks just have a leg up at this. So even as much as I disagree with J.J. McCarthy really being fully, quote-unquote, eligible, if McCarthy and if Kevin O'Connell can do what I think he's capable of doing with just about any quarterback, with Jefferson and Addison and just the way I think Kevin O'Connell is one of the best play callers in the business, then JJ McCarthy 8.5-1 is not terrible.
If you're like me, I guess, I mean, I probably put my money on Trevor Lawrence then, considering if they win the division, I mean, he's definitely in the running.
Yeah, what do you guys make of Rashee Rice being there? 14-1. What does it take, do we think, for comeback player of the year? Is it a 14 or 1,500 yard season?
I think so, but think about this, though. He was trending to be in a top five wide receiver last year before he was hurt. Mm-hmm. So perfectly healthy.
He'd have to have 1,410 touchdowns.
I'm just saying, perfectly healthy. He was trending in a great direction last year through the first three games.
He's in a spot, though, I think you guys would agree, for Rashee Rice to be comeback player of the year. He has to have a career year as well. That's the weird spot he's in. It's weird. Like normally for a comeback player of the year award, you don't have to have a career year. I think we're all saying if Rice were to win comeback player of the year, he has to also have a career year because that's 1,500 yards.
One thing about his production in the yards, if everybody stays healthy, you'd have to think Hollywood Brown's going to have a pretty darn good year too. And Xavier Worthy is only going to get better and better. So that does take away some yardage in production from Rashee Rice when you're getting that stuff from Brown and Worthy.
Do we know?
And the sprinkling Royals.
Texan's asking, and I kind of wondered this as well when you mentioned it, is J.J. McCarthy, he isn't eligible for rookie of the year, is he?
Because, okay. He's not a rookie, yeah. Even though it's going to, he is not officially. He's not officially a rookie.
I think the interesting thing about him is... might do something like that where it's weird how if you didn't play your rookie year, then you still get considered.
That's what it should be, but he's not even been named quarterback one. I mean, it's funny.
He's going to be because they didn't bring in Rodgers or anybody.
I know, but it's weird how they haven't just identified that and said,
look, Kirk Cousins is still on the bench for the Falcons.
He's going to be in the quarterback show on Netflix.
Someone brings up, what about Rashee Rice with the suspension? Yeah, that's why I would not make the bet today on Rice at 14-1. Because if he's suspended for multiple games, it's going to kill your chances at being the comeback player of the year.
It could happen this year, and maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson on there stood out only because
Aiden strikes me because he's the guy.
Well, if he gets the big sack,
double digit sacks, it's Aiden Hutchinson. All the attention paid on him. I think the attention meter. Looms large.
What did you say, Crosby was 20-1?
Yeah,
I think that might be a sneaky.
But if he's on a bad team. On a bad team versus, let's say, Aiden Hutchinson has 12 sacks and Crosby has 14, they might give it to the guy with two less sacks just because profile. Oh. I don't know. It's a fun market to bet on, comeback player of the year, because it can swing so quickly.
But with that team and his injury,
Crosby?
Aiden. It just screams Aiden for this award.
New defensive coordinator. There are more primetime games than the Raiders are. That helps your case.
He's the guy. Like I know that he's obviously very good, but I mean, in terms of attentiveness, you're locked in on him.
I'd have to look at the comeback player of the year history. Like, how many times is it a quarterback? Same kind of thing.
Who won it last year? Oh, Burrow did.
guy, Drew.
And then Joe Flacco won it the year before, right?
Yes. He did.
Between DeMar Hamlin.
That's what I'm saying. This is why, like, J.J. McCarthy, Dak, like, quarterbacks just have such a leg up in that market.
That was the one that really spawned the new talk about the award when Flacco gets it.
Burrow, Flacco, Geno, Burrow. Yeah, Burrow's, by the way.
Yeah, twice, I guess.
Never won an MVP, but won comeback player of the year twice. Just saying. Alex Smith, Ryan Tannehill, Andrew Luck. The last non-quarterback to win.
So eight straight quarterbacks.
The last non-quarterback to win comeback player of the year was Keenan Allen in 2017, Jordy Nelson 16, Eric Berry 15. It is since Rob Gronkowski in 2014 was the non-quarterback. So
straight quarterbacks.
It's been quarterback after quarterback, and that's why if we're talking about the odds, that's what Dak is the favorite for a reason. McCarthy, Daniel Jones.
You haven't seen a defensive end since Greg Ellis in 2007. Yeah,
that's not good for your Aiden Hutchinson bet.
No.
I'm sure I'll talk about this market plenty more when we get closer to NFL betting season.
The great Chad Pennington's on there twice.
Chet, just like Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow's comeback player twice is not a good thing.
Will Joe Burrow have more comeback player of the year awards or MVP / Super Bowl rings combined?
Comeback player of the year.
I mean, he's got two already and he doesn't have any MVPs.
Drew, he's going to have more comeback player of the years than rings and MVPs combined. He'll get an MVP 1 point. I still told you he's Dan Marino. He's not going to get a ring. He'll get an MVP award. That's
if he
happening.
Made the playoffs last
I actually
year,
think it might happen
got,
this year.
If he made the playoffs last year, he might have gotten it with that team and all the injuries and that defense, the way they
Lamar
played.
Lamar Jackson should have won it last year. Lamar,
right
Lamar
now,
I'm just saying Burrow. I just gave your guy Burrow credit. You didn't listen to me, Drew.
If I wasn't picking somebody further down the board, I would probably make a Burrow MVP bet this year. I think the narrative is all there for him. Everybody's going to feel sorry for him for a bad defense again. Poor Joey.
What's your comeback player of the year bet?
Quarterback. I'll probably go McCarthy.
Actually,
or
you know what?
Like
I'm going to go Aiden just because I'm going with the
What's
spirit
that,
of Greg Ellis.
Are we doing bold predictions right now?
Tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's not Chiefs related. No. It's a generic.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear it.
The Bengals will have a top 20 defense this year. I know that's not much.
Wow. Hey, good for them. That's quite
the
barometer.
Let's move this radio show over to Comedy Central.
Hey. If they had a top 20 defense last year.
By the way, that's your bar, the 20th? 20th?
Yes. Gold. If they were 25th, they would have been in the playoffs last year.
You don't even have your best player signed.
Joe Burrow, honestly, I might make the MVP bet today. He's got people feel sorry for poor Joey and all this.
Top 20.
Joe Burrow MVP bet. I'm gonna lock that one in, I think, actually. That'll be one of my MVP bets for the season because the numbers were there last year. And if they just squeak in as a wild card this year, he'll be in a good spot. But I really think everybody thinks, oh my gosh, he's amazing. This poor guy, if only his defense was good. And then they forget to realize the reason why they were throwing as much as they were is because the defense sucked. So if your defense is top 20, then those numbers are not going to be there for Burrow.
Well, here's the one thing. Jermaine Pratt.
But the team will be in the leading playoffs, which is all I care about.
That should be
Jermaine Pratt led that team in tackles last year, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, he's gone.
You know,
he's
also,
a Raider now.
Bink, do you know how many Trey he also
Hendrickson's
missed?
All pissy.
Bink, do you
so what are they going
to
do?
You didn't watch the Bengals play last year enough to know how bad.
Oh, Jermaine Pratt actually was. They were forced out.
Jermaine prime Jermaine, time like five no, times.
Drew,
I know,
on.
But you didn't watch good enough then because Jermaine Pratt, as he might have led tackles, but that man missed a number. Couldn't cover
you
anybody.
You were saying it just like a college when a four-star recruit decommits and goes somewhere else. We didn't need him anyway. He wasn't any good.
No.
He wasn't any good.
No, they.
Jermaine Pratt was good for them.
Halfway through the season, I told you, or I was saying, not to you guys, but he needed to go. I didn't even realize he led the league in tackles till last week after the Raiders signed him. It wasn't evident.
Mm-hmm.
Man, couldn't cover
it. It was all Lou Anarumo's fault.
He performed for a defense that didn't perform, and so did Trey Hendrickson, and both of them, well, one's gone and one's pissed.
They'll be better because Jermaine Pratt's not there.
Oh, Drew.
They'll be better.
I mean, by logic, they'll be better. They were dead last, so I mean, the chance of them
no
being
way
better.
They, can get worse.
They will be better. Are they 24th? Are they 18th?
Hey, I did like Jair Alexander signing with the Ravens. People forget that Ravens pass defense was second worst in the NFL. Like, that's some upgrade.
Yeah. Jair Alexander's a great
signing.
We talked about that last week.
In that division, except for the Browns. The Browns were good.
Jair Alexander signing. We touched on it last Thursday, whatever. It's a great move for the Ravens. Absolutely great move. It's weird. It's a better move for the Ravens than it is a bad move for the Packers letting him go. Does that make sense? Like, he didn't.
Yes. Yeah.
He never really played for the Packers.
It was his time.
He never really played for them, but it's a really good signing for Baltimore, who had a bad secondary. They drafted a guy in the second, a safety to go with, what's his name? Nate Wiggins
I'm
and everybody there.
I'm worried about Malachi Starks. That man's big time. That guy's Ed Reedish 2.0.
First round pick.
I
know you did.
Love that pick.
All right, we're back at it tomorrow. We will be talking more about the Royals start to their homestand against the Dodgers and Rays. Plus, we're inside of a week before the stadium bonds on the Star Bond side in Kansas could expire unless they extend them.
Let's get some resolution.
We'll talk stadium tomorrow a little bit on the show. I know there's some new reports that came out a little bit later on in the show. We'll get into that stuff tomorrow as well. The Drive with C.Dot and Rob coming up next.